Why don't we get started? This is going to be an interesting challenge because in reality we have three chapters to cover today, and it's going to probably feel a bit rushed. I'm sorry about that, but if we're going to get through all of this, some of it you're just going to have to kind of do on your own. It's in the handouts, but I'll try and highlight what's of most importance. So probably what will happen, I'll either read the scriptures, all the ones that we would normally like read, or I'm going to say something about are all up here. Hopefully they're correct this week. Anyway, they're up there. So if you kind of miss where we are, look up there. The rest of them are in the handout along with the quotes. And I'll be mentioning a couple of books. I'm going to read from this one in the beginning. This one I'm going to refer to. So everybody's name, authors and the books are up there. This is from last week. Those of you who weren't here, those are the three main books we're working from. The main one is Don Whitney's Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, and it is available online as a free download this month. So if you don't have it and you want to do that, make yourself avail that for yourself. Okay. Why don't we get started? I'm going to read. Some of you are familiar with the Valley of Vision. These are Puritan prayers. And these things read like Puritan prayers. I mean, they are packed. They're not something you just kind of read through casually. I mean, you have to read through it several times. Anyway, I'm going to read from one. It's called Spiritual Growth. And right at the end, there's a comment about God's Word. And that's what we're going to be focused on today is Bible intake, the Word of God, hearing it, reading it, studying it, applying it. So we got a lot to cover. And I thought that'd be a good way to sort of start off, set the tone for our time together, and then we'll get started. O Thou Most High, in the way of Thy appointment I am waiting for Thee. My desire is to Thy name my mind to remembrance of Thee. I am a sinner, but not insensible of my state. My iniquities are great and numberless, but Thou art adequate to my relief. For Thou art rich in mercy. The blood of Thy Son can cleanse from all sin. The agency of Thy Spirit can subdue my most powerful lust. Give me a tender, wakeful conscience that can smite and torment me when I sin. May I be consistent in conversation and conduct, the same alone as in company, in prosperity and adversity, accepting all Thy commandments as right and hating every false way. May I never be satisfied with my present spiritual progress, but to faith add virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. May I never neglect what is necessary to constitute Christian character and needful to complete it. May I cultivate the expedient, develop the lovely, adorn the gospel, recommend the religion of Jesus, accommodate myself to Thy providence. Keep me from sinking or sinning in the evil day. Help me to carry into ordinary life portions of divine truths and use them on suitable occasions so that its doctrines may inform, its warnings caution, its rules guide, its promises comfort me. Father God, thank You again for this opportunity we can gather in Your name and expect that You are here present at work through Your Spirit. We're not here by accident. Each of us are here for a reason and a purpose. And God, may that be fulfilled today as we fellowship, as we look at Your Word, as we hear from You. May we have open and receptive hearts to hear and to respond, God, to what You want to teach us. Help me, God, with this material. It's a lot of material, and I want to help my brothers and sisters and myself as we explore what it is to study Your Word, to apply Your Word in our lives. God, may we grow in godliness as we apply these disciplines in our life. God, help us. We need You today to guide and direct what we're doing. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, at the end of your material, there was an assignment, and I told you each week we'd take time, and we'll have more time as we get further along, to sort of follow up if anybody has a testimony or want to share what God did with them last week as they worked through some of this material. And it was really kind of the launching of maybe looking, assessing how are you doing in the whole area of spiritual disciplines. Anybody got a comment? Anybody do their homework assignment? Yes. Ooh, very good. Very good. That's a great disciplined way to hide God's word, have it ready for the moment. And as you go through that, I would think month after month, and we'll talk about this later, that kind of repetition helps as far as memorizing scripture. They become more familiar and meditating on them. Somebody else, Charlene, you had your hand up? Very good. Little pride welling up. Anybody relate to that? Well, that's God's goodness to you. That's right. That's encouraging. That means God's at work. And continue to expect Him as we go through this. We talked about that. Just as you interact with the material and spend time in God's Word, He's going to move and speak. And we're all in different places, and He's doing different things. And so we'll expect Him to meet us individually and specifically. So next week, if you have something that happened and you didn't feel like sharing it today, maybe next time. There'll be plenty of opportunities. So please do that. Let's jump into this. Don Whitney says he thinks that the intake of God's Word is the most important spiritual discipline. Do you agree with that? Why is that? Why is that key? Okay. Builds faith. What else? Right. He reveals Himself through His Word. What else, as you think about the other disciplines, we're going to be talking about prayer next week, fasting, silence, solitude, some of the ones we don't get to talk about, evangelism, others. What's key in all of those? They're all what? Right? And what else? Okay? Yes. So that's got to be foundational. Everything that we're going to sort of act out, the things we're going to be talking about, a lot of times are sort of what you see, and they're in action. They're doing the word. You got to know the word. There's got to be a basis on which we do what we do and act in a certain way. So we really have to understand God's word, and we got to spend time in there. So why study the Bible? Whitney gave us some suggestions. What's one thing you can look on your handout? Do what? Right. So we're talking about it's essential, keyword, essential for our growth. If you think about people who, sort of this theme of nutrition, it'll come up. We talked about today is taste and see. So if someone is not getting an adequate amount of nutrition or food, what do we call those people? They're malnourished. Third world countries, you see that, people starving. Malnourished people are not healthy people. You take someone, a child or even an adult, gets an infectious disease in a third world country who normally one of us could get here and your body fights off the infection. There they die because of malnourishment. They lack the reserves. If you don't get enough vitamins, you get these vitamin deficiencies or you become anemic if you don't have enough iron. So we understand that concept when we're thinking in terms of nutrition and diet. It's the same thing. I mean, is food for our soul. It's our daily bread, as Charlene said. If we don't get it, and if we don't get a good balanced diet of it, then we're going to be deficient in some way. And you think about it, the disease model, that if you're malnourished, you're not getting that kind of nourishment, and something attacks you. In the medical model, it'll be viruses or bacteria, but in the spiritual, it can be all different kind of things, temptation, whatever, discouragement, attacks of the enemy. You're not going to be as healthy. We're not going to be able to deal with those kinds of things in a healthy way. So we're easier targets. We're prey to, or susceptible, I guess you'd say, to it further weakening us. A couple of scriptures there from Deuteronomy and 2 Timothy that speak to that. The first one about man does not live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So again, that we have to have that nourishment. We talked last week about John 15, abiding, we're the branches of the vine, that sort of concept, getting our life from our relationship to Christ, that there's a life-giving relationship. Same way with the word. We have to have that. We just can't live without it. Spurgeon quote there, it says, your soul has never grown rich in itself. It's always been dependent upon the daily bounty of God. Again, daily. And that's going to become important as we talk about all the spiritual disciplines, that there has to be these habits of devotion we talked about, and habits developed by repetition, by doing things on a repeated basis. So think of the next time you're reading a Bible. This is food for your soul. It's soul food. Okay, just kind of a little thing to remember. Like, I need this. It's important in my diet. Let's talk about some of these other, I would call them sub-disciplines. We'll kind of break it down that way so that as we move through this. The first one is hearing God's word. When someone says about hearing God's word, do you think about that as a discipline? Okay, that's a good point. I think in the past I wouldn't have thought of that necessarily as a discipline, but it requires discipline. But there are aspects about it that, and I think the teaching we received over the years helps, and we'll talk about what are some of the things that make it a discipline, that require effort on our part. And the first one is preparation. When you think about hearing God's word on Sunday morning, when do you start preparing for that time for God to address you, or us as a church? When does that start? Good. Thank you for that honest statement. I think that's probably true for most of us. Sometimes it's like right before the sermon. Sometimes it's sometime during the service. Sometimes it's when you get here. When else could it start and could really be helpful? Thank you for your honesty. That's the point. Is think about this. What you do on Saturday night, or what I do, affects what happens on Sunday morning. So begin to look at, what are you doing on Saturday night? It's not like you can't do anything or have fun or whatever, but you need to think about, what time are you going to bed? Are you showing up here with 6 hours of sleep or longer? Are you staying out to 2 or 3 in the morning? Are you just indulging in something that's not necessarily good for your soul or your spirit, and it's robbing you of what God might want to do the next day? So think about Saturday night. And the other thing, what about on the way to church? That can be a tricky time, especially for parents. That can really undo a lot of stuff. You kind of show up, and then as soon as you hit the door, oh, hi, praise the Lord. It's a great day. And you just had an argument with your wife or yelling at your shoulder. I mean, been there. Anyway, that stuff can be brought into the meeting, and that's not good. Deal with it. Leave it outside. Deal with it, even if you have to be late. Just do that. And the other thing, coming in the sanctuary. Sometimes we come in, and again, not to be legalistic or anything, sometimes we're kind of chatty and kind of hanging out, and then we kind of rush into our seats, so we're kind of rushing into what God's doing. So sometimes it's helpful just to go in a few minutes before and you know, you can talk to people on the break or after church. Just come in and get quiet before God, kind of prepare your heart. So I would encourage you to think about, what am I doing to prepare myself on Sunday morning? The other thing, I'll plug this, the prayer time, those who gather for prayer, that's huge. I have found that a real encouragement, because what ends up happening, you've already been praying for an hour, and you have a short break, you've been interacting with God, communing with God, short little break, and then you're right back there. For me, it really helps me to be able to, I can enter into worship and move in whatever God's doing much quicker than that transition coming in from all the stuff going on out there. And so you can ramp up a little quicker. So those of you that haven't perhaps thought about coming to the prayer time, I would encourage you to consider that. The other thing is, during the time, what about just our attitude and posture during the time? I mean, you know, kind of kicking back, things like that, being distracted by what's going on around us. I know parents with younger children, sometimes that can be a challenge, but work with one another, husbands and wives, sort of help each other in that. That was something that my wife had to address years ago. I tended to be kind of into my own thing. It was me and God, and the kids were going crazy, and she's having to deal with them. And finally she said, you know, you're kind of doing your thing and you're enjoying worship, and I'm here, you know, don't you think you ought to be like helping? So be mindful of that. That can go either way. Most often it falls to our wonderful wives with little children, because they're doing things with them or whatever, but be sensitive to that. The other thing there is, and I talked about this last week, there is a dynamic that goes on. The Holy Spirit is working in the midst, and you've seen that happen, you've heard that. So we really need to be attentive the whole time. I mean, it can start in worship. God is speaking through song, through prophetic word. It can even happen during someone sharing something during the offering. Don't miss that. That's another place God may speak. And then during the sermon. But we have to be attentive. We can't just say, well, I'll listen when the sermon comes, and kind of tune out God or be thinking about what I'm going to do in the rest of the day during worship. Really think about that. The whole time God is speaking and working. And the other thing is just trusting the Holy Spirit is going to, that scripture in John 14:26, the Holy Spirit's going to teach, through our pastors, through different means. The Holy Spirit will do that. Okay. The other is reading God's Word. This is probably one of the core things. Those of you that had Whitney's book, there are some statistics in here. I just want to share a couple of them real quick that were in this book. They were pretty shocking. I've heard some of this stuff before, but to kind of see it in print. This book was written in 1991. And he's talking about, these statistics were, came out about that time with some Barna statistics, USA Today. It said, one, that only 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. More than half read it less than once a month or never at all. Listen for the Christians. Born again Christians. This is by Barna. Only 18% read the Bible every day. That was how many years ago? You know, back in 91 or 90, 18 years ago. Worst of all, 23%. One in four professing Christians say they never read the Word of God. How do you live the Christian life? I mean, how do you, through your day, I mean, how do you deal with life and struggles? And I mean, I don't know. That really flies in the face of an understanding of what it means to be a Christian, and not just survive, but thrive and grow in sanctification. A couple of things here. I want to talk about informational versus formational reading. Many of us will find ourselves over in the category of informational reading, just the nature of our schedules and life. And you can see that this is, you're sort of seeing the text, seeing God's Word as an object to use. We're critical, kind of judgmental approach, problem-solving mentality. We're in there trying to figure some things out. It's a very scholastic kind of academic feel to it. And there's a place for study and digging in, and we'll talk about that. But we need to view that it's not just information that we're gleaning from the text and from the word, but it needs to be formational. It needs to, as is described there, that the text masters us. We are subject to the text, not it's subject to us. And it's going to shape us, that we come humble, loving, and an openness to mystery, that this is God's word, and that he speaks. And you, no matter how many times you read a particular text, read it again, it's living and active. We talked about that. And the formational approach was what the monastics really focused on. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the sacred reading part. But it's the idea that we are shaped by what we read. We're changed. We're transformed. So just think about and evaluate, how are you reading God's Word now? How do you approach God's Word? Is it more for information, or is it that the text that God would speak and change and transform us? So I think that's helpful. The other thing, and this is the real kind of meat of this thing about reading God's Word, is do you have a plan when you read God's Word? How many people, just not to embarrass you or anything, but just a show of hand, do you have a plan when you read God's Word that you're kind of using right now, or you have used, or you just kind of randomly, oh, I'll read this book and then I'll kind of read this one? And people have plans? Okay, right. That's a plan. You can, a systematic way. Plan. Right. Cover the whole thing. What happens if you don't plan? And this is with anything. What happens to us? Okay, we don't do it. That's one thing. We just sort of fizzles out. Right. It's a task. Anybody relate to that? I'm a list. I love lists and like checking things off. And you know, if this becomes that, that's really to our shame. It's God's word. It's not just like reading another book. Like, oh, I read, you know, a book this week or whatever to check off. Mike. Okay. There's several ways to do this. That's what Mike described is one way, and we'll talk about that. The important thing is having a plan, and Mike has a plan. Charlene has a plan. Others of you are using things. I think what you need to come up with is what works. And I've done different things over the years. I've done the 1 year. I tried a 3 year one time. It was a book, and it was too long. I at some point I just like, this is too slow for me. Now maybe I could do it now, I don't know, but the 1 year I think is manageable, but I'll tell you what happens with the 1 year. The 1 year, you can go to the Christian bookstore, there are written plans. You can go online, I look there, I mean there's so many, and they do them different ways. It can be you know, one of the things is if you read 3 verses a day and 5 on Sunday, you'll get through the Bible in a year. You just start in Genesis, go straight through. So generally, if you read 3 or 4 verses, you'll get through. Some of the plans have, I've done this one where the way you're reading it is you will go through the Old Testament once, and you'll go through the New Testament twice in the year. And it takes about 15, 20 minutes a day to do. The other, they mentioned in some that I was reading, so that you, some people get bogged down. I mean, you end up in Numbers and Leviticus and you start like dying and you give up. So what they do is use Genesis, Job, and Matthew, And there's sort of the sequence, so you're kind of tracking at different places, and it probably keeps it, maybe what you're talking about, keeps it a little more interesting so that you can stay with it. The other thing, kind of like what Mike's talking about, and it's something I'm doing. I'm almost finished now. I have 4 books left. I looked the other day. It's like, well, how close am I? And it was suggested in one. It may be in Whitney's book. Is you read different books, sort of by interest, maybe what the guys were preaching on, or where God's sort of speaking, or sometimes I'll just ask the Lord, well, what do you want to read now, and just kind of pray about it, and sometimes I get this sense, oh, I haven't read there in a while. And what I've done, and this was suggested, is go through and mark those books. I mean, there's sometimes, if you've read the Bible or remember, you've read those books several times, but just go through and mark the ones that that you've read. And then when you say, oh, I haven't read this one, then read that. And if you do that over time, sort of, it's basically keeping a record of your reading. You will, and it, you know, may take some time, could take a year, or it could take 2 years. You will cover all of the books of the Bible. And some would say, well, do we need to do that? Well, it's God's Word. He put it in there. There's a reason. And again, I would look at it as a diet. It's kind of like if you only eat meat, you're going to be short on some vitamins. If you only eat your veggies, unless you're really, really, really good vegetarian, you got to be careful. You're going to miss out on some protein if you're not careful. So you could be deficient in some areas. So if you look at it like, oh, I need to read all of this and take the time to do it. And sometimes you'll come across a book that it just doesn't seem to kind of grab you or appeal. Ask God to say, God, why is this in here? I mean, what are you trying to teach us here? This seems happened a long time ago, and there's all this fighting and killing. You know, what's going on? God will teach you that. So the important thing, I think, in that is pick something. Yes, Paul? That's the same. Yeah. Okay. So you can go to Desiring God Ministries for Piper. And Discipleship Journal is at .com or... Oh, okay. So anyway, there are plenty of different kind of materials out there. Important thing, just pick one. And set aside, you know, the time to do it. It's really a wonderful exercise. It takes some discipline to stay with it. I've done it, you know, I'll do it 1 year and then I'll take a break and do something else or whatever and come back and then do that again sometimes. So it's not like you got to do it every year. But just, I think it's helpful. Yeah, how about studying God's Word? So now we've been reading, now we're going to dig deeper. And Jerry Bridges has a comment, reading gives us breadth, but study gives us depth. Talking about the deep things of God. And that Spurgeon quote, I thought it's really helpful that as we study and as we, you know, mine the Scriptures, not only benefits us, I mean, there's a lot of benefits, and we'll talk about that, but you really have something to give to other people. So, again, this is being other-centered, thinking about, oh, as I spend time in God's Word, I'm going to be encouraged. My faith will be built up. God's going to guide me, direct me, but also being able to encourage other people, to counsel other people. And this Scripture in 1 Timothy 2:15, we've got it up. 2 Timothy, excuse me. We're encouraged to be workmen who correctly handle the word of truth. Now, how do we know we hear somebody talking about something? They say, oh, this is in the Bible, or they've heard this teaching somewhere, and sometimes you're like, that sounds a little strange. Is that really in there? How do we know if what someone's telling us is the truth? How do you know if it's, you know, error or truth, heresy or not? Yeah. I mean, sometimes you could be talking to somebody and you don't have your Bible with you. I mean, it's not that you can know everything, but familiarity with Scripture, with doctrines, can really help, especially either with someone who claims to be a Christian, but some of the stuff they're saying sounds a bit off the wall, to be kind. Or it could be flat-out heresy. And there's a lot of weird stuff out there, even being taught in some churches. And some of you are aware of that today, some of the movements. And then, you know, we're not going to get that just by casual reading. We have to spend time in there. We have to, sometimes you have to study a doctrine, or you have to study a particular issue to know, okay, what are my convictions? And they need to be based on the Bible, not what I think or my opinion. I think we can all fall prey to that of just, yeah, well, this person said this one time and I heard this. You know, it might be right, but check it out, you know. Couple examples there, and the checking it out. May we all be like the Bereans. You know, this is a familiar scripture in Acts 17. It says they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I mean, we look back now and say, "Well, golly, it was Paul. Come on!" But they, you know, who's Paul? Who's this guy? He's bringing this message. So as you read. Articles, as you listen to tapes, videos of Christian leaders or other people in different movements, you have some way to scrutinize that and evaluate it if we have a good working knowledge of Scripture. So it can be protective and really helpful. Some of you probably had discussions with Christians about maybe their... how many of you have read The Shack? Okay, I'm not going to get into a big thing on that, but I'll say this. I had two different people at work were raving about this book, and they're Christians, and how it caused quite a stir when I'm in their church. So we had this opportunity to kind of talk about what was the author's intent there, and then what were some of the doctrinal issues in that book, not to just kind of accept it. So you have to know, I mean, as you're reading that, you have to be able to filter and screen and evaluate different kinds, especially popular Christian books. People just grab a hold of, you know, the Prayer of Jabez. I mean, there's just, they come up now and then. And sometimes there's really helpful stuff, and then this other, it's a little edgy, or some of it's flat out, you know, scary, heretical. And you're going to be interacting with people and talking, and it's really helpful, not in an arrogant, prideful way, but just to be able to say, hey, you may want to consider this, you know, other people believe, or the Bible says, you know, whatever. To be able to bring that truth into the situation can be really, really helpful. Okay, what about Ezra there? It says, Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. So here's an example of someone who studied God's word. When you read that, what does it speak to you about? What's some of the key things that are going on there about Ezra? We can use him as a model. Okay. When it says he devoted himself, what comes to mind when you say someone devoted themselves? What do they have to do? Study. Okay. Good. Okay. 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 So there's a deeper thing than just, okay, I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to do this. There's a heart desire. And what does devotion to something require? None of us in here are monks, right? So we got to live every day. We got to go to work. Got to teach our children. We got to go to school. Whatever. So how do we do what Ezra said? How do we devote ourselves? And this is getting into all the spiritual disciplines stuff we're talking about. When you devote yourself to something, what do you have to do? Yes. So it requires time, energy, focus, purpose, all that kind of intentionality. And if you are going to do that, you have to give up something. We have X amount of hours in the day God gives us. And if you do this, then you can't do that. And so it requires sacrifice, dedication. You have to give up something for some other purpose or activity. And so then what happens? It says, okay, he devoted himself to what? To study. Okay, so then he's not just like, passively hanging out. You got to do something. You got to work. You've got to invest. Look what you're talking about. And then what happens? There's a progression here. What happens when one does that? When one devotes themselves to that study, to invest in that? What happens? What was the next thing? Okay, but right before that, it says he devoted himself to study and, okay, so then you're doing, you take it from private to public. You begin to observe the law and you're a doer of the word. And then, like Larry said, then the next thing that flows out of that is kind of the, I'm trying to remember the thing, where you see one, do one, teach one, sort of mantra in medicine, is that you begin to acquire an equipping, in a sense, to then be able to teach others, to be able to share with others. And in a sense, not only have you been equipped, Holy Spirit's been working there, but now you can actually equip others through teaching. And so it really does, it doesn't benefit us. It can benefit others. And that's a great sort of model, I think, of how that works. So what are the things that keep us from just this casual kind of reading of God's Word, viewing it sort of informational, the tasks to be checked off, you know, all those things that we fall prey to? What are some of the things? Is that a lack of expectation that it's true, that God's going to do something, or that it's going to be beneficial personally? I mean, they're all kind of related, but. Okay, so what is that a view of? It's a low view of God's word, and ultimately a low view of God. It's, do you believe these words to be true, and do you believe them to be living and active, and the promises of God that he says, if you do this, I will do this. If you do this, you know, scripture is filled with promises. And in a sense, I know Spurgeon one time talks, it's this idea that the promises are banked. So view it like these are banked, and it's go and bang on the door. There are deposits that have been made on our behalf, and it's knock, you know, ask, seek, knock, whatever, and withdraw those things that have been deposited. God has those for us, these promises. Yes?
And it's also, in addition to love with God, I realize it's a high view of myself. Mm-hmm.
Drive. So what are these, the things that Paul and Mike are talking about are really key, because they really affect how we're going to approach God's word and whether we're going to be disciplined or devote ourselves. What are those rooted in? I mean, what you just described, you described very well. Yeah, it's self-sufficiency rooted in pride. I don't need God. I mean, why do I need to spend time in his word? I can handle this myself. I don't need to go to his word for guidance or comfort or to speak to the situation that I'm going to be dealing with or that I'm currently dealing with. And I think what Paul's alluding to is really rooted in unbelief. It's just, I mean, a low view of God's word or God. It's just, it's saying, or we are, you're not who you say you are. You're not all you're cracked up to be. You're not powerful. You're not loving. You're not kind. You're not good, ultimately. And if you're really having a hard time reading God's word and getting into it, don't beat yourself up, but ask God, what is going on in my heart that I'm really struggling here? And show me God. Confession or repentance. That heart work to really break, to be able to kind of move ahead. I mean, I think for a lot of us that, I mean, these things about distracted, busy, and scheduled laziness are just sloth. questions, just some things, either or if you're struggling. Trying to do some stuff. This book, if, for those of you that are really into studying or anything, Ian Stewart, this has a lot to do with exegesis, sort of digging into what's the meaning of the text. It's got commentaries listed in the back. It talks about translations. That's a big question for you. Which one do I use? So that kind of information. Bruce. And this is sort of the, there's some interview question that, interview questions that application part. It's like, God, what, how can I respond to that? What are you after here? What do you want to teach me here? And that's what you want to kind of respond. So it's not just the information again, the formation of God's word in our heart. Oh, I can do that, and it doesn't take. Memorizing and meditating. Okay. When you think about. Like Christ. You know, do it. When you say which verses, you can, I think what's helpful is what is God, you thing or you're God right there. Write it down and then begin to learn that. This is a system I've used and, I don't remember where this came from. you feel pretty comfortable with it. And then you move it from the daily to odd and even days. So then it's like every other day. And there are little cards for each one. Then you're only seeing it. Go at the down pat. And at some point, then it goes into it behind a monthly card. So you're just seeing it. Easy to see, just set up those cards. And then as you become more familiar with data, and I've gotten away from it, then I got to kind of bump it up because I didn't stay with it. I didn't go back, even if it was once a month or whatever. And there's some that just stick. It's like you don't really, I mean, it just God grants you that and it sticks. Especially if it's long passage, you really have to have some method. Deep thinking. About in successful. The success as God defines it, not as the world defines it. It says, it's the habit of making space, again, the Lord, and how he meditates day and night. And just the description there of the fruitfulness and the prosperity. Only those who delight in God's word and habitually, have it again, meditate on it, will the fruit of habitual meditation takes, it's not and I threw in that scripture. Separate activities at the same time. What are you saying? Now, it's a loose leaf. It's not a whole. Now, the ancient art of sacred reading centers on loving God through His Word. Time is just reviewing the verse.